Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to Stories to Tell. This is Jen. I'm joined by my wonderful dad.
Marvin.
And we are excited to be back. Our first podcast of 2021. So happy New Year to everyone. My dad and I are now, the last few times we did this, we were together, but this time we're apart again.
Yes, we are. You are in New York. I'm here in Jacksonville, Florida, so
Yes. So we're doing this apart, but it'll still be a good one. And today's topic, I actually wanted to talk about something that I have no clue how to do. And my dad has a lot of experience with this, so I figured it would be a really good idea to talk to him about it and get some answers that I need. So, are you ready, Dad?
I think I am. Well, before we start, I just want to say I'm not an expert. I mean, I don't, I'm just a regular dude that, got to know a lot of stuff about real estate or about buying a house.
Well, with that, my grand question for today is how to buy a house. I want you to teach me all the steps from beginning to end. What that process looks like, because I truly have no idea what the first step is. I would assume it's like what to look for when you're buying a house.
Really, like whenever you're gonna buy your first house, I think that, well, before you even start looking for a house, you really have to have a job that, is kind of secure in an area where you're planning to live for a while. And then, it's like, you should start like thinking of where to buy a house, the area where you want to live at, that would be the first thing to do. And of course, depending on the area where you work, you want something to be kind of close to work. I will say, to me, 30 minutes away from work, it will be a good place. 30 to 40 minutes away will be a good drive, and taking into account, the traffic and also, so then you will have to look for an area that you really want to spend some time.
What would you say? What is that first step after you look through kind of, what's important to you when buying a house, whether that be the type of neighborhood, like you said, how close it is to work. Of course, you have to take into account like bedrooms, bathrooms, and a size house that is going to be beneficial to the person and the person's family. But once you kind of start finding, a house you're interested in, then what is the next step?
Well, Jennifer, before you start on, even before you start thinking of buying a house, you have to go through a few things that, they kind of come along, and without that, you wouldn't be able to buy a house. Because we're gonna be talking about like you, first time buyer, and of course, there are a lot of things to take into account. For example, whenever you're gonna buy a house, they don't want you to have like car loans or a bunch of credit cards where you own a lot of money to credit cards.
They don't want you to have what loans?
Car loans where you pay in a car. See
Oh.
what it is? Whenever you're gonna buy a house, only a percentage of your income, your check, whatever you make at work, can be used to pay for the house. So there is a percentage that the banks kind of look for that to see if you're gonna be able to pay for the house. And another thing that before we start, I wanted to tell you was about, first time buyers is here in the US, a lot of these cities or state will give money for the down payment for first time buyers. So, you know, that will help you. It's not much. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's like 7,000, probably 15 the most, 15,000. And, you know, but you have to take into account that first. Before you even start looking for a house, you have to know how much money you make, how much of a payment you can afford, you know, because, you know, you're going to really finance the house for like 30 years to pay it in 30 years. And you have to take into account that too. So, you know, right after, you know, making sure that you don't, you're not paying any car loans or, you know, credit cards. I think.
But I'm still confused on that part. Like, what do you mean you can't be paying any car loans? Like, doesn't everyone pay a car loan? They have a car?
Well, like I say, taking into account that whatever money you make from work, you know, so, and remember what I just explained to you, that a percentage of whatever money you make, the bank will make sure that you're going to be able to pay the house. So I'm not even sure, like, but it's supposed to be like you can only use about, you know, 40% of your check to pay the house. So the rest of your check, you know, is supposed to be for paying your bills and, you know, credit cards.
And that's like that's a rule that the banks put?
The banks use that rule. I mean, whenever you apply for the loan, they're going to see how much money you make to check how much money you can afford to pay on your mortgage.
Got it.
Yeah. And also, you know, you have to think, like, you know, I mean, what kind of house you can afford with the money that you're making at work.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's 35 to 40% according to your mom, that you can spend on your house payment. See what it is? Your mother and I, we took a course about this long time ago, about 20 years about real estate, and that's where.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did. We took like it was a 6-month course that we did that was in California. Long time ago.
Wow.
But that kind of helped us, gave us an idea of, you know.
6 months? Oh my goodness.
But we took that class, both of us together. And then at the end, we realized that, you know, to be in that type of business, you have to be real and, you know, make sure that everything is done by the book. So, you know, it's a tough market. You really have to know how in order to work it. But, you know, we kind of use it in for ourselves. And, you know, that's how we kind of became, I will say, investors. That's how we started buying houses and, you know, renting them because we know how to do it. The idea is, you know, get to know what is it that you need. Like I say, for you, make sure that you're not paying any car loans or credit cards. And also on the down payment, you know, you have to have about 5%, 10%, 20%. And depending on how much you want to pay, that's the type of loan that you're going to get. For sure, if you put less than 20%, you're going to have to pay something called PMI, private mortgage insurance. Mm-hmm. Which is an insurance that, you know, the bank kind of put on you.
Well, so wait, did we skip a step here? We didn't talk about realtors or how they play a part.
Okay, once you know the area where you want to live, you know, and the house that you can afford, then you will have to kind of get a realtor, someone who has a license, you know, to check for houses. And he will be the one in charge for real to let you know about, you know, all the things that I'm telling you about your credit score. Yeah, they want to make sure that your credit is above, better than 500. And the higher there is better. If you have like 700, 100 or 800, you have good credit. I mean, that means the bank will love to give you, money to buy a house. But once you have like someone, a realtor to help you out, he will ask you a lot of questions to make sure that you do qualify. And the area that you're looking for a house, you know, it will be affordable for you to buy. And from there, you know, you kind of, you have to think, you know, because they're going to ask you what type of down payment you want to put for the house. You know, is it like 3%, 5%, 10%, 20%? And like I say, if you pay less than, PMI, which is private mortgage insurance, on a conventional loan, and that kind of protects the bank in case you cannot pay the house, you know, that insurance will protect the loan.
If you pay less than what?
Less than 20% of the amount of the price of the house that you're buying. Let's say you...
As your down payment?
Yes, let's say you're paying, you're buying a house that is worth, let's go, you know, 200. So if you buy a house that it's $200,000, and if you put less than 20% down, that means you're only putting, you know, less than $40,000, you know?
Right.
Then the bank will charge you PMI.
But less, so the 40, less than 40,000 as a down payment, right?
But okay, if you pay, and believe it or not, the PMI is insurance that you pay, and that money kind of goes away and you never see it again. And it kind of will, it will go away once you kind of own that 80% of the property. Like, you know, I think down by 78, whenever like you own that 20% of whatever the price of the house is, they kind of take it away, I think. I don't know if that's confusing.
So the
for
goal,
you.
The goal, what I'm understanding, the goal is if you can, it's to pay a down payment that's more than the 20%.
Yes.
So that you don't have to pay.
Yes,
PMI.
Because the PMI, it will be like monthly due, and it's something extra depending on the price of the house. It could be, you know, up to 150.
That's a separate payment you
included.
No,
I mean,
thank
on your
you.
Payment, but it's called PMI on it. But it's like $150,
yeah.
$200, $300, you know, depending on
right,
the loan
right,
you
right.
got. So whenever you're ready to buy a house, yeah, it will be a good idea for you to start saving ahead of time so you can get that 20%. So you don't have to give that money away, which is, you know, that's pretty much like throw away. Like if you don't have that 20% down. And, you know, the banks use that so that, you know, they want to make sure that you will be paying the house, that, you know, you're not going to be willing to lose 20% of, you know, of your money. You're not going to put that money on a property if you know you're not going to be able to pay it. So that's why they do that.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So then what happens? Let's say you and your realtor, like, decide you can pay 25% of... as your down payment.
Once you see the house, the area, and the house that you wanna buy, and then the realtor knows that you already have that 20%, you know, you're approaching like, you know, a good place. Like, you know, then you start like looking for a house that you like, an area that you like, and making sure that, you know, that's really what you're looking for. And, you know, as a buyer, you don't have to pay much. Believe it or not, the seller is the one who kind of have to pay the realtor who helped them sell the house. And they also have to pay the realtor of whoever is buying a house. So whenever someone wants to sell a house, they pretty much... pay about 6% of whatever the property is worth
to the realtor.
To the realtor, to the one that is helping them sell the house. And also, it goes half and half. You know, they get like 3% to sell the house, and whoever get a customer to buy the house, he get the other 3%. So that's where the 6%, mm-hmm. you know, goes. And a lot of sellers will be willing to pay closing costs too. And closing costs is not much. I mean, it will be about $4,000. And, you know, but that one, most sellers willing to sell a house will pay it off too. And that's just mm-hmm. the amount they have to pay, you know, for paperwork that the bank, you know, the time that they waste, you know, doing paperwork and, you know, inspecting the property and, you know, doing, making sure that everything is good on, you know, with the house. Because before you even buy a house, believe me, there will be a lot of people that the buyer, I mean, the realtor that you get, he will mm-hmm. send someone to inspect the house, make sure that whoever is selling the house, you know, got all the rights and, you know, everything is legal and that, you know, they don't own any other money to other people on the house. They have to check, like, you know, where the money is going to go once you buy the house to make it legal and clear.
But, right, so that's still on the part of, like, the sellers. So back to the buyer part, though, what happens next?
Oh, once you pick a house that you like, it's just you going with your realtor to a bank, and they will do, like, a credit check to see, you know, what your credit score is, you know, what job you have, how many years you've been at that job. And, you know, and like I said, that's where the down payment will show. They will ask you for, like, you know, a good down payment. And one thing that I want to make sure that, you know, I understand, it's about a fixed loan and a conventional loan. So whenever you buy a house, you need to make sure that the rate that the bank is going to give you is fixed. That means that, you know, your payment will never change. Like, let's say you have to think this really quick. So if you're going to buy a house, most banks will, do the loan for 30 years. So 30 years is 360 payments. So you need to make sure that it's fixed where, you know,
it's distributed evenly all throughout those 30 years.
So, taking into account that they're going to put in there, when it's fixed, they're going to put in there your property tax and your insurance for the house is going to be included mostly. Most banks will do it like that so that, you know, whenever you make a payment, you pay a lot of the money goes to the principal. A lot of money goes for the property tax. A lot of money goes for the insurance. And most of the money in those 30 years goes to the bank on interest. So you know. And
So the insurance on the house, that's through the bank?
Well, no, it's not through the bank. I mean, you know, they will charge you for it, but you kind of have to, you do it on your own. You kind of have to pick the insurance that you want to cover your house.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I mean, you know, there are a bunch of insurance, just like car insurance that, you know, they're willing to sell your insurance and the names, you know.
But how do you get that? How is the insurance included in your fixed rate, fixed monthly rate?
Well,
if it's done by a separate
The years, you will know that the insurance for a house will vary a little bit, will change, you know, between, like, let's say now in 5 years, you know, of course the insurance is gonna go up a little bit. So the bank will make an escrow during the year to pay your property tax and also your insurance. And that will be the only reason why your payment on a house on a loan of 30 years will change a little bit, but it won't change much. And you know, if they say your payment is gonna be $1,200, more than likely it's not gonna.
Right, but my question was how is the bank charging me for my insurance if they're not giving me insurance? Like, why aren't I paying the insurance
I mean,
company?
you can, whenever you buy the house, you can make a deal with the bank where you can do it like that. I mean, you know, like the first house I bought, you know, through, I don't want to use too much commercials here, but through Bank of America, they asked me if I wanted to pay my own insurance, and I did, which, you know, whenever I made the house payment, it was really just for the interest and the principal.
Oh, so your insurance was not
on
included
the first
in your
one,
fixed.
It was not. But
right.
Now on the one that
there's an option.
The one
too.
That I live in right now, everything it's on the loan. I make sure that, you know, the property tax and insurance right
got
there.
Got it. Oh, so I also have another question. You said a word that
it's
so
okay.
I've heard this word before, but I don't know what it means. Escrow? I don't know what escrow means.
Escrow, it's money that the bank will put on hold through the year, and that money, it's really to pay your insurance and to pay for property tax. So whenever you're paying for the house, you're paying for the principal, which is your house itself. You're paying the interest, the money that you're going to be paying the bank for giving you the money. And then the escrow part is the money that the bank will put on the side through the year, and to pay for the property tax at the end of the year. The property tax is due in November. And if you pay it right then and there in November, it's like, let's say, for a house worth $200,000 to $250,000, it will be like $3,000 property tax during the year. And if insurance for a house, you know, for a house that is worth like $200,000 to $250,000, it will be only you have to pay about $1,000. So the escrow money that you should have in your account, it will be, you know, more or less to cover that. So it will be about $4,000 through the year. And the bank will pay it off for you, but it's your money. I mean, you know, like they will pay the property tax in November. And the insurance, that one starts whenever you buy the house. That will be the date that the bank will have to pay the insurance for the house every year.
Oh, I see. Okay. So in your house payment, it includes all of that. So that's why the bank will pay the property taxes and the bank will pay the insurance if you
choose
that route.
Yes, but you're pretty much paying, but they're collecting that money during the year for them to pay it. So that's the escrow.
So,
that's the money that you're talking about.
Right. Well, and then you said a house payment includes principal, which is the house itself, interest.
Money to the bank.
And escrow.
And the escrow. And the escrow, it goes to pretty much.
So what would you say, I guess, right now is a good, well, okay, before, actually, I'm just going to go ahead and ask it. What would you say is a good interest rate?
Right now, believe it or not, it's really good. The interest right now is below 3% in the U.S. And
everyone's?
I mean, if you have good credit, Jennifer, that's how it starts. I mean,
okay.
And it varies. It goes up a little bit or down a little bit. Like last time I refinanced my house, it was 2021, I think, at the beginning of the year. And
it was 2020.
Yeah, 2020. I'm sorry. January 2020. And the interest I got, it was 3.125. And I thought it was really good, but now it went down a little bit. So right now it's a good time to buy.
But it's the bank giving you this interest rate.
Yes,
right?
The bank will give you that interest, but that interest is set by pretty much the government. Because, see, the government is the one that gives the money to the banks for them to lend it.
Yes.
So,
yes. Okay, got it. So you you were saying it's better to do
Yes.
fixed, but then you were saying you want me to know the difference between fixed and
Yes,
conventional.
conventional or there are a lot of there are a few type of loans. There are like three of them. So conventional, it really means that your interest rate, whenever you sign the paperwork, it is whatever the interest rate it's at that time, whenever you buy the house. But let's say in 3 years, 5 years from the time you buy the house, if the interest go down, yeah, it's on your benefit, but more than likely it's gonna go up. So if the interest goes up, and that is set by the government, believe it or not, then you instead of you having the payment that you started with, is your payment is gonna start going up and up and up. For example, the first house I bought, I don't even know the year because it was like 30 years ago. So the first house I bought, we got a conventional loan in the beginning because that was the first house that we had and we didn't know any better, and we started paying about $700, and then somehow at that time the interest was 7%, and then like within 2 3 years, I don't think it took 3 years, the interest was 11% on the house. So it was going up. So my payment started going up from 700, like to 1,200. So then that's when I found out that I needed to refinance really quick and get into a fixed loan.
Oh, a fixed. Oh, okay. So that makes sense. So conventional, I thought you were saying it's going to be the interest rate when you sign the papers, but it's the interest rate as time keeps changing. So whatever that interest rate keeps changing to, that's what you have to keep paying, even if it increases or
Yes,
decreases.
if I'm not
Got
mistaken.
it.
But I will recommend every time you buy a house to do a fix. And
A fixed,
if
yes.
you really know how to do it, I like myself, I wouldn't even go. Well, I've done really good in life, so my loans, seriously, the first one was for 30 years, but then from then on, I started doing, I did my own loans with Bank of America.
But the first one was for 30 years, but you paid off quicker than
Well,
that,
let me
right?
just tell you really quick. Whenever I bought the house, I just wanted to put my hands on the house. So we just got it, paid like for 2 3 years, and then we did a fixed loan. And then I did it myself. I went to Bank of America and I told them, listen, I need to do a 15-year loan instead of 30. So the payment, instead of paying 360 payments in 30 years, it went down to 15 years, 180 payments. And the payment is going to be a lot higher than what you're paying for 30 years. But due to the fact that you pay so many less years,
You can buy it
yes,
quicker,
not only
or
that,
you can
your
own
payment
it
goes up
quicker.
only a little bit, $300, 400 a month, and then you kind of pay the house a lot faster because you're not paying that interest for 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then I thought I did really good, and then someone I know, he got smarter. He said, I'm not gonna do it for 15 years, I'll do it for 10 years. And the bank did it. So yeah, their house payment was a little bit higher, but then surprise, in 10 years they were able to pay off their
So,
house.
but so you have to go to the bank, and so is that what it's called to refinance, to go to the bank and let them
Yes,
know, hey, I want to pay it off in a different time than what we originally planned for.
in the beginning when you buy a house, just you have to use a realtor to make sure that everything it's legal. I mean, the process and everything have to be, legal. Once you hold your property, once you kind of paying for it, then you can go either to the bank that you're paying your house to, or you can go to any other bank and, you know, slowly, but, you know, by that time, you know what you're doing. So you go to the bank and say, listen, you know, I got this house, I'm paying it for 30 years, but I wanna go ahead and pay in 15 years. And, you know, 15 years, it sounds, right. you know, still like a lot of years, but you really think about it, it's like 180 payments. And it's way less than 360. And then if you go 10 years, you know, right. it's 120 payments. But then, you know, your payment's going to be kind of doubles, you know. Instead of doing it for 30 years, if you go for 10 years, if you were paying $1,000 for 30 years and you try to do it for 15 years, it's going to be like $1,500, $1,500. And if you try to do it for 10 years, it's going to almost double. It's going to be about $1,800, the payment on your house.
Right.
But if you can do it, I mean, I will recommend really quick. You can buy a house, do the loan for 30 years, and then really quick, within a year, that the bank see that you're paying the house on time, you can go to the same bank that you're paying the house to and say, listen, you know, I've been paying this house for a year now, but I do want to refinance for 15 years or 10 years. And you have to show them, you know, that you can pay it.
Proof that you can.
So for that, you know, all you got to do is bring your income tax, you know, or your paid stuff. And then the bank will have someone do the whole process for you again. And they won't mind doing it because, you know what I told you where, you know, the closing costs when, you know, whenever someone sells a house, they have to very much help with closing costs. So whenever you do refinancing, the closing cost is mostly on you. But a lot of banks, and this is like, you know, like top secret, like a lot of banks, they will make you pay for the closing cost. And then if you stay in the house for like 4 years, that closing cost kind of disappears. Because that means if you pay the house for 4 years, you already pay a bunch of money on interest. So a lot of banks are willing to even pay for closing costs, but you do have to stay with them for at least 4 years.
For them to trust you again. Let's get back to, though, the first-time buyers and the first time, you know, you're trying to buy a house. So I think we left off with that.
Okay.
So we left off because I want to get all the way to the end to where, like, you get the keys and the house is all yours. So we left off where we're at the bank and you're choosing, let's say you go the route that you are recommending to me, which is the fixed loan. So once you do that.
Okay. Before I even do that, let me just say this to you. Really quick, I won't go extreme on this. So to everyone in the U.S. and all over the world, okay, this is my thing.
Okay, but you're talking to me.
Yes, I know, but like, remember, we have an audience out there. So if you're renting a house, an apartment, you're going to pretty much die paying that apartment forever. And whenever you're ready to leave that apartment, they're either going to charge you for any damage you've done to the apartment. So whenever you buy a house, seriously, that money that you put on the house, the principal, that money, whenever you're ready to move out, sell the house, move to another state, that money stays in your pocket. So I will recommend to everyone who can do it, you know, to go ahead and buy a house. So getting back to business. So, you know, whenever you kind of look for a house, make sure that it's something that the price will stay or it will increase in the future. Because, you know, buying a house is like an investment. You know, people make money buying a house. Like, you know, you have no idea what type of income you can do like in 5 years, 10 years. Just by owning a house.
Because then you're able to rent it out.
Not only that, like, let's say you want to live in Jacksonville for 5-10 years, and then you want to move to any other state, Dallas, Texas. So the if you're renting a place, that money, you will never see it. The money you're giving away to the owners of the people you're renting it to. But if you're paying your own house, remember, a lot of that money that you're paying to the bank, it goes to the principal itself. So you're buying part of that house. So let's say you live 5 years or 10 years in a house. Part of that house you've been paying for 5, 10 years belongs to you already. So we're not talking about, you know, 5,000, 10,000. It'll be, believe me, it will be a lot of money. You really think about it. So it,
that they
yes, because
you
you're going to be selling your property, the one that you've been paying
no
for.
No way.
So you know, buying a house, you know, no, I will recommend it, you know, and make it quick too.
Yeah, but I still need to know how to buy a house. No, I'm serious. After you choose a fixed loan, so then
once you choose the fixed mortgage, I mean, and the banks approve it, all it takes is like 30 days for them to do all the paperwork, and they give you the key right then and there whenever they go through checking your paperwork, making sure that, you know, your job is secure, and that, you know, all the information you gave them, it's good. I mean, and that your credit is worth whatever you say is worth, because they do check all that.
Yeah, of course. Oh, so once you agree on the mortgage you want to pay, then it's just a matter of waiting for the bank to.
Yes, and they will give you the interest rate that it's, you know, at that time that it's possible, the lowest one that they can give you. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. Based on your credit and what the government has said, et cetera.
From the moment you sign, to closing day for those 30 days, whatever they say the interest rate will be, it won't change.
Oh, you sign for a closing date?
Once you pick the house that you want to buy and you kind of agree on the price, because remember, whenever someone sells a house, I mean, people can ask for, you know, they could sell a house for 250, but you don't go and tell them, yeah, I'll give you 250, unless you live in an area where, you know, people are going crazy about buying houses. But a lot of times the market is low. So you go ahead and, you know, check on the property and all, and you kind of try to make that price to be a little bit lower. And if someone is asking for, you know, they're selling their house for 250, you're going to try to offer at least, you know, let's say 230, and to see how much low they're willing to go. And depending how bad they want to sell, they will kind of agree, or they will do a counter offer. And, you know, if you offer to pay 130 and they were asking, 230 and they were asking 250, I mean, they could come back with a counter offer of, let's say, 240. Yeah. And then you just make $10,000, you know, right there on that business. So, you know, because you're not going to have to pay for that $10,000.
But you do that, like you do that negotiating at which step? At the very beginning?
Well,
right?
Whenever you go check on the house, you know, that's the first paper that you're going to sign with them saying, yeah, I kind of like your house. And, you know, I got the credit, I got the paperwork, you know, everything is set, but I'm willing to pay this amount for your house. And they will have to sign a contract saying that they agree to that price. And believe me, by this time, the bank should know whether you qualify for a loan, you know, that you're asking for.
So when you get that, what is that agreement called? Or it's just...
Wow, you got me on this one.
Well, no, it's okay. But whatever that agreement is, so you take that to
your
the bank
realtor,
and show them?
Your realtor is the one who checks like how much you can afford to buy a house. He's the one who will get a bank line up with a loan. And make sure that you qualify for the loan
based on whatever you and the owner yes. agreed upon. And it's the realtor that's talking to the owner yes, the whole time.
Yes,
right?
You're kind like of behind, and you know, you're yeah. kind of agreeing, and he's agreeing with you to whatever deal you want to do.
Well, I thought you were saying no.
And believe me, there's more people involved. I mean, you know, there is the bank, there is the realtor, and there is someone else that a lot of people don't know, but there is a broker, and the broker is working with the realtor, and he's the one who kind mm-hmm. of do the paperwork, the process, and they get a bunch of money too. So there's more people okay. involved.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Wow. Okay, I think I understand a little more.
You know, it's an area where, you know, you will never lose whenever you make your whenever you buy your first property. I mean, there's no losing end. And the only thing that I would yeah. recommend for you is for real, whenever you're ready to buy a house, make sure that you're going to be in an area at least good 5-10 years. You don't want to buy a house
right.
if you're going to be in an area only for like 2 years, 3 years. I don't think it's worth
That's
it.
That's my issue.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know yes. where I'm going to be. But can't you, I mean, and this is like, I think when you become more experienced, but then can't you buy houses and rent them out and then,
well,
you know,
being an investor, it's good, but it takes a lot of work. And yes, yeah. you can.
Yeah, being a landlord.
No, it's not. Not easy. I mean, your mother and I, we've been doing it for like 15 years.
Oh, so no, you guys are landlords, huh? Share with the people.
Like, you know, we invested in houses this like 15 years ago. And in the beginning, of course, we mm-hmm. kind of didn't know what we were doing. But, you know, it took like 2-3 years for us to understand how to, you know, do the rental stuff. And your mother, you know, she's really good at it. I kind of, you know, let her do that part. I kind of dedicate myself to do my daily work where I can make some yeah. income. And she's the one in charge of rentals. But like you say, right. renting is not easy. I mean, you have to have a good eye on picking the people that you want to live in your house. Make sure that they're not going to destroy yeah. it, or, you know, and they're going to be paying your rental. I mean, that they're going to pay their rent right. on time. So it's a lot of things, a right. lot of work. But it can be done yeah. too. I mean, you know, but the thing is, like, whenever you buy a house to rent, you either have to give it to the professionals, because there are companies that they will get like a percentage, like 10%, and they will do it for you. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to do it yourself, you have to make sure that you're going to be there, like, you know, making sure that every 3 months you go check on the property at least, and, you know.
Right.
You can't just leave it.
I've had my experience with landlords that just leave it.
And if you cannot do it, you can have own a property and just pay someone to kind of do the maintenance. They do all the renting and all, you know, all the real estate part.
Yeah, yeah. Like the manager.
But they do get like 10% of whatever you rent the property for. And there's a little bit more than, yeah. you know, that I hear they do collect whenever they rent the house or the apartment, they collect the first month rent. So it's not just mm-hmm. the 10% that you lose every month.
Well, I think you covered all my questions.
I think you're better off than when we started. I know that for sure.
Yes, I think so too. I was writing down okay. notes this whole time, but that's a good way to put it. I'm definitely better off now than I was before. So
and
thank you,
as Doug, a disclosure, as a disclosure, you know, for the listeners, I mean, you know, uh-huh. I'm not a professional. I'm a normal human being investing
Oh, you're scared people are going to attack you for
No,
your
it's okay. I
advice.
mean, these are ideas, that people can use, whenever
Yeah,
they're
no,
buying a house, and they
this was
can check with
definitely
the, yes,
a good
they can check with the
conversation.
realtors to see, how much is good to know. It's good to know a lot of this stuff, but then the professionals, they will put you, on paper, whenever you're ready. Just make sure that it's someone that you can trust.
Well, I think that is it for today. Any last
Well,
words, Jeff?
if you're renting a place, unless you're staying, living a place only for a few years, I will recommend for you to, buy a house. If you're gonna live in an area more than, 3 4 years, it will be a good investment to buy a house anywhere in the world.
Well, as my dad has always told me, I think the moral of the story here is to buy, buy, buy. And with that, I think that wraps up today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll be back next time with more stories to tell.